Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Last week, we had a two-day series asking the question of whether or not Jesus was married, and we cited several quotations from the Journal of Discourses that show that Mormon leaders not only believe that Jesus was in fact married, but that he also had children. Since the time we recorded those shows, there has been some information that has come to the surface dealing with a Coptic fragment that has come to be known as the Gospel of Jesus' Wife. We had mentioned last week that we could not recall any Mormons who firmly believe that Jesus was married, and it's interesting, after the shows aired last week, Eric, I got an email from a man who said he did believe that. And so there probably, as I said last week, there's probably some out there that do. We just don't hear it very often on the streets.
Well, not just on the streets. We don't hear it very often from the general authorities from Salt Lake City. They don't talk about this at all.
No, they don't. Well, anyway, even though that certainly is a Mormon speculation on the part of some Latter-day Saints, this new Coptic fragment seems to have brought this whole issue to the forefront again. Rather than give you our personal opinion of what we think about this, I think it's more important that we go to some of the experts in this. And one of the experts that we like to go to is Dr. Daniel B. Wallace. He's the professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he actually posted an article on this, and it's titled Reality Check, The Jesus Wife Coptic Fragment. And how he starts off, I think, is very telling. He says, and he posted this on September 21st, 2012, he said, there has been an unbelievable torrent of hoopla over a newly discovered, or rather recently announced, Coptic fragment that speaks of Jesus as being married. The news of this small business card-sized fragment has gone mainstream, so much so that even David Letterman got into the act. On Thursday evening, the 20th of September, just a couple of days after the story broke in the New York Times, he had a telephone interview with the most important guest he'd ever had, Jesus Christ. This Jesus was married, and his wife was nagging him in the background. Anything for a laugh, it seems. So what Dr. Wallace does is he goes through and offers some, what you might call, bullet points, looking at the facts. What are the actual facts about this particular fragment? One of the things he says is that Professor Karen King, who is the one who presented this paper, he says Professor Karen King of Harvard Divinity School presented a paper at the International Association of Coptic Studies in Rome on Tuesday, September 18th, making public a fragment of papyrus that explicitly claimed that Jesus had a wife. She gained access to this fragment via an anonymous owner who has permitted her to publish the text. So right there, we don't know where this came from. And of course, in order to deem something to be authentic, you have to have some kind of a pedigree, a provenance for what this, where did this come from? They just all of a sudden appear out of nowhere. It becomes very suspicious because we know things like this do pop up. And more often than not, they are proven to be frauds.
Well, we have to wonder when it's an anonymous source, that always has to cause some question as to where this came from. But Time magazine on time.com on September 25th had an article where they interviewed Karen King, the person who presented this paper, and they asked her, do you have doubts on the authenticity of the fragment? And here's her response. Oh, yes, absolutely. I think something like this needs to be questioned further. We are going ahead with tests about the chemical composition of the ink that won't absolutely resolve the issue, but will certainly give us one more piece of evidence. So, there's a few things that are happening here. Even the person who is presenting this and calling it Jesus' wife is even saying there's a possibility this is not an
authentic. Well, Dr. Wallace actually brings that out too, because he says in his blog, he says this manuscript, he's listing, I should say, what are some of the possibilities. And number one, he says that this manuscript is a fake. That's one of the possibilities. And he quotes this Dr. Christian Askland, and I think I'm pronouncing that correct, in attendance at the International Association of Coptic Studies conference in Rome, noted that about two-thirds of those in attendance were very skeptical of its authenticity, while one-third were, quote, essentially convinced that the fragment is a fake. Askland said he did not meet anyone at the conference who thought it was authentic, and then he says that this presumably does not include Professor King. A number of noted Coptologists have pronounced it a fake or have expressed strong reservations. But as you say, Dr. King herself can't be absolutely sure. Now, some Mormons might be getting excited about that if they believe Jesus was married, and this seems to show that there's some kind of proof that he could have been. But let's think clearly about this. There's a lot of issues that need to be thought about. For instance, one of the points that is brought up by Dr. Wallace, that Professor King has dubbed this fragment the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, he says this is intentionally provocative. Mm-hmm. This is what Dr. Wallace says. That title is intentionally provocative because, of course, it brings a lot of attention to this fragment. It, just because it may say certain things does not necessarily mean that it is actually a gospel. He says there is simply not enough material here to call it a gospel at all, let alone the Gospel of Jesus' Wife. And he has an exclamation point there. That's true. Go ahead.
Well, and Time asked her this question, what does gospel mean in the context of Gospel of Jesus' Wife? And she says that there has been considerable misunderstanding about this, partly because people think of a gospel as a genre of the New Testament canon. But for those of us who work in the literature of the second century, we have the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Philip, and many, many other Christian gospels. My suggestion in calling it a gospel is that it fits into this kind of genre. It is not a claim for authority or canonicity at all. Well, she might say that, but you're exactly right, because it does get press coverage. I mean, Jesus' Wife, it brings you back to the Da Vinci Code, and you got Dan Brown making the same kinds of speculation.
And of course, you have a lot of people out there that get a lot of notoriety from bringing up something new, unique, odd, provocative, and controversial. So naturally, it's in their best interest to bring attention to themselves to make this as controversial as possible. And if you don't know the background of this fragment, you could easily fall into that exaggeration that's going on and think that it's actually proving something that it doesn't prove at all. And this is one thing. Dr. Wallace makes this very clear. He says, he asks the question, does this fragment prove that Jesus was married? The answer is an emphatic no. At most, it can only tell us that one group of quote-unquote Christians, and we don't even know that.
No, we don't.
Okay, that's why the quotation marks. He says, tells us that one group of Christians in the middle of the second century thought, but it says nothing about true history, about Jesus of Nazareth. And what we mean to say by that, folks, is that, let's say, Eric, that you wrote something on a historical issue and you gave what we can only assume was your personal opinion, or maybe you were joking, we don't know. And whatever you wrote seems to be buried for a long period of time. And then later on, somebody finds what you wrote and they all of a sudden draw the conclusion, oh, because you wrote that at a certain time period, it means that what you wrote had to be historically accurate. No, it doesn't prove that at all. And this is what we need to keep in mind. This is why we have to be very careful about any of these kind of findings that especially come about later on, hundreds of years after Jesus lived. There's a lot of people who could have written a lot of things about Jesus.
Well, we have a lot of information about Abraham Lincoln, and yet, at the same time, 150 plus years later, we could have somebody write something about Abraham Lincoln, and 500 years or 1,000 years down the road, somebody finds that. It'd be chaotic to say, well, we're going to accept something written such a long time after his life when compared to the history of Abraham Lincoln. We can go back to the history of his day, and I think we have to trust those pieces more than we would something that came so much later.
Another thing that Dr. Wallace brings out that I think is important to take into account is that he says the fragment has similarities with the Gospel of Thomas, which most scholars date to the middle of the second century. And then he gives certain examples that shows that this was probably taken from that. And then he says that the provenance, the history, and ownership of the fragment are unknown. This creates a good deal of suspicion on the part of the scholarly community as to the fragment's authenticity. So what we're saying here is that there's a lot of question marks about that. Now, the big question is, well, what if it proves to be authentic? Well, what does that mean by authentic? Does it mean that it was actually written by somebody in the second or the fourth century? Oh, so what? That can be authentic, but it doesn't necessarily mean that even if this is an old papyri written during a certain period of time, that what the papyri actually says is historically accurate. It doesn't prove that at all. And unfortunately, a lot of untrained people might draw that kind of a conclusion, even though that is a false conclusion.
We need some guidance here, Bill. I would recommend that the general authorities come up with a statement, since their 19th century general authorities did teach, as we talked about last week, on this very issue. And here's a question. Did Jesus have a wife? It would be great to have Prophet Monson come out and explain to us what the truth ought to be, because he should be somebody who is on the know on this.
Another thing that needs to be considered is that there are many Latter-day Saints out there that are looking for just about anything that might prove their faith to be true, because let's be serious, they have nothing. They really have virtually nothing when it comes to the historicity of the Book of Mormon or things like that. And a lot of claims that Joseph Smith made are very tenuous. And so they look for just about anything that will give some kind of validation to their faith so that the charge of them having a blind faith can somehow be alleviated. Our message to the Latter-day Saint is you need to be very careful about this. You need to look very carefully at what your leaders have taught. And that's what we're trying to do on this show. This is what we try to do as a ministry. Be wise in the information that you look at and in the conclusions that you make.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.